One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Delicious Podcast with me, Julie Smith. And this week, I'm with this year's winner of MasterChef, Irini Georgioglou. As we sat and chatted in busy London town, and I asked her to tell me what for her tastes like home, she took me on a wonderfully nostalgic trip back to her grandmother's kitchen in Crete, where nose-to-tail cooking was an essential part of the culture.
My early memories of food and my grandmother's huge kitchen, really, you may think it's really strange, but they all have to do with using everything of a pig. And why? I was thinking about this recently, and I thought this is actually a wonderful memory, and I want to hold on to it because it so resonates now with the nose-to-tail philosophy.
Zero waste.
Yes. Yeah. So before I became aware of all this now as a very serious effort on behalf of chefs, restaurateurs, the awareness of sustainability, I had these memories of my grandmother utilizing everything of a pig. And the thing that was, in my head was the smells, the activity, all the processes. But now I'm much, much happier that I can link it to something modern, to something contemporary. We're talking about, 50 years ago, yeah, when I experienced that.
So did that feel a little bit sort of old-fashioned before?
Oh, totally. Yeah. It was seeing what I thought was an old woman.
Yeah.
Of course, she wasn't that old. probably younger than I am now, dealing with a pig that was reared all year. And, we'd rear this pig and we would aim it to be eaten at Christmas. First of all, something that didn't exist in those days. I was a child. There was no sentimentality. It wasn't the pig my pet.
Yeah.
The pig was reared to be eaten.
Yeah.
We were all very clear about that. But when the time came for it to be killed and butchered and eaten, everything had to be used.
Yeah.
And women in those days, my grandmother, knew how to use everything. And nobody had, perhaps she had seen her mother. I'm pretty sure she did. But there were no books, there were no recipes, there was no TV.
But did she live in the city or did she live in a village?
No.
I mean, was there a sort of a communal recipe sharing culture?
Women would be talking, of course, about, you would go into somebody's house, you'd be offered little biscuits or something. Plus, we used to take food to neighbors.
Yes.
So you would even exchange recipes of savory food because that was the culture. Or you would take food to somebody who wasn't very well.
Yes.
Or definitely, very small communities, everything was shared.
Yeah.
So yes, the knowledge was shared. But as a little child, to see a woman process a pig that was probably, 100 kilos and start treating the feet and the head and the rest of the body and come up with all these goodies that we would then eat, sometimes for months.
Yes.
Because they had to be processed, some of it, in sausages, to be smoked in front of the fireplace, or some would, be in aspic.
Yeah.
And I was looking recently at a recipe of aspic in the Cretan way, and it was shaped in a beautiful mold, and it looked like a cake, like a tart, a beautiful dish. And it brought back some really lovely and warm memories and feelings, this.
So I also grew up on having to eat just about everything in an animal, but I didn't like the taste of it. Tell me,
how your grandmother was making it tasty. It must have been so much more delicious than the brawn that I had.
I love it to this day. I think it's the most delicious thing. First of all, it's such a long process. Apparently, the secret of the aspic working in that particular dish that I was thinking about on the way here is that there must be no blood whatsoever in the meat.
Yeah.
So this was a very long process. People had patience and they gave food the time. But then, of course, food was revered. You know, it would feed the whole family, which was large, and the people working in the fields and passers-by who were hungry and were coming to the priest's house. So it was a very serious business and it had to take its time.
Yeah.
So the meat would be soaking.
Was your grandfather a priest?
He was.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so the house was always full of visiting people. The meat would be soaked in water for hours and hours to make sure that there was no blood left in the meat.
And which cut are we talking about?
Feet and head.
Okay.
Because they've got the gelatin.
Yeah.
The jelly. So after the intense washing, it would cook very, very slowly for many hours. So depending on the quantities, maybe up to 5 hours. Until the meat was coming off the bone.
Yeah.
And then it would be chopped in little bits. The liquid, the stock, would need to chill overnight to separate from the fat.
Yeah.
Which fat, of course, was delicious. As a child, I remember freshly baked bread coming off the wood-burning oven, which was communal. So if a woman took the trouble to light to light the wood and make an oven hot enough to bake, it would never happen for one dish. It would happen because suddenly the neighbors would know. And Irini, my grandmother, the same name. Irini is baking today, so what can we make to take to her oven? So everybody would know this.
So it was a very efficient use of the heat.
Everything.
And the time and the energy.
Yes, and very often people would chip in. And they would take a little bit. It would be a bit of bartering going on because they would take a little bit for that day's meal in the evening. So the next day, the fat would be taken off and preserved because that would be used all winter, but particularly on hot bread as breakfast, you know, for us children. And then the rest of the stock would be boiled again, this time to be mixed with the bits of meat, and even the ears of the pig would be used. Now, first of all, of course, she had to shave everything. In those days, they shaved the little feet. And so I'm talking about a whole day. And for me as a child, it was totally fascinating. I didn't want to go out and play. I wanted to watch my grandmother, see what she's doing with this animal, with this huge thing.
And of course, it would only happen once a year, really, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And so it was a big deal.
Oh, huge deal. And the process of making the sausages, which then would hang for days in front of the fireplace, and the smell. Now, you ask me how it would be made tasty. Yeah. Well, in the aspic dish, it's called pichti in Greek, which actually means set. Because of all the gelatin, you know, the dish sets. You would put a lot of acidity from citrus fruit. So you would put the juice of oranges, you would put the juice of bitter oranges and lemon, and a lot of pepper, salt. It takes a lot of salt, pork for some reason, and beautiful cumin. So and bay leaves. No garlic. In fact, in Greek food, we didn't actually use garlic that much. So traditionally, certainly when I was growing up, garlic wasn't used that much. Lots of onions, lots of aromatics, because we had them growing in pots outside. And the climate is fabulous for things like aromatics. I hate paying money here for supermarket bought, you know, basil. And you just go out to your courtyard and you pick what you need.
Yeah. And you pick what's there, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. And what is in season.
Yes.
To this day, in fact, and I love this about Crete, being an island, I mean, some big supermarkets, and because of the sophistication of us all these days, you know, there is demand for, limes, which are not indigenous.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter. So you find limes in the supermarket, but the majority of the people will still eat what they grow.
Yeah.
And you can only grow what is in season.
Yeah.
And I find that incredibly healthy. I found it amazingly exciting as a child because I couldn't wait for the first black grape, because black would show you the ripeness. I wasn't interested in the blonde grapes because you could never tell which one was ripe.
Yeah.
But the black grapes, you could tell because of the color.
Yeah.
So I would go to the vineyard, which was closer to our house, on a daily basis in July and August, waiting to find that first black grape to eat. And the joy of that.
Yeah.
The same with the first watermelon and everything that was in season. You know, cherries, strawberries.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell that you're passionate about food. You've always been passionate about food. Do you think you have to be that passionate to win MasterChef?
It helps. It helps because passion drives you. And I prepared a lot for MasterChef. Now, I don't know if I would have done the same if I was younger. I might have used a little bit more bravado and a little bit, you know, the daring aspect of one's personality when one is young. And thought, I'll give it a go. But at my age, I think I took it quite seriously. And I thought, okay, I want to go, but I want to survive the first few rounds. I want to showcase the food. If I want to make an example of what it's like to try and succeed at my age, I have to survive to be able to do it.
It's a wonderful role model, isn't it? I'm so pleased that, you know, on many programs, look at Mary Berry, look at Prue Leith, the older woman, it's our time, isn't it?
It's
just about being good at what you do and going and getting it.
Absolutely. And what I love is how it has actually resonated with many young people, boys and girls.
Yeah.
I love it. I love to be stopped by young people to say, oh, well, I loved watching you with my girlfriend and we're discussing the food. And next time we'll go to Crete, we're going to... That gave me more pleasure than if somebody of my age told me that, because that I would consider normal.
Mm.
But actually to inspire from my step-grandchildren who are very, very young.
Yeah.
And they want to wear their apron
and
try and work at it. And
yeah.
Absolutely, I love that.
Yeah, well done. What now for you? What about a book?
Yes, I am talking to someone about a book. Again, I can't wait to write the kind of food that I found inspired people. Lots of people are telling me that I showed Greek food in a way that they didn't expect it possible, but accessible also.
Yeah.
And I actually love I get very excited with the idea that I can tell people, actually, there are very simple tricks you can do.
Wonderful.
To make it look MasterChef-y. And it's not that hard. You just need to add a few more ingredients and how you put it on the plate. And I think the teaching aspect I will enjoy.
Well, good luck with the book, and I'll catch you when it's out. We'll have another chat then.
Thank you very much. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Delicious Podcast. I'll be back next week with author Veronica Henry and Diana Tempoli, whose World and Somerset Cider Brandy inspired Veronica's new book, A Home From Home. And you can follow my adventures on Instagram with the hashtag The Delicious Podcast. I'll see you next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.